This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
I like rape.
No way.
Good afternoon, Talkback. You are up next with Ian Williams. Hello.
Good afternoon, gentlepersons. The reason that I'm calling is because I think that the average person with any common sense realizes that the United Nations has become as solid as cellulite. And I should know, since I have some. But the reason that I'm calling is because I believe that a lot of the member nations that are against the United States are against us for the sole purpose that the State Department refuses the worldwide distribution of the Don and Mike Show.
And no, would you? Come on. This is one of our regular crank callers. You're very funny. Good afternoon, Talkback. You're up next. Hello. Come on.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Don and Mike Show. Call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Is that right, Randy?
No way.
That's Randy Jackson from American Idol. This is Frankenstein.
Gorgeous. Good.
You compare.
No way. Friends.
Wow.
No way. Good.
Well, yeah.
No way.
Frankenstein and then Randy rejecting somebody. Is that Randy?
No way.
Oh, it's Frankenstein.
No way.
Wow. That's Frankenstein.
No
I know that anywhere.
Way.
Well, that's Randy.
Idiot. You are absolutely atrocious.
No way.
I like rape.
Oh, stop it. Where's that?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Yeah. Well, it starts today by finding some foo, and it's the Don and Mike Show. As we used to say when we were at Morning Zoo, S-H-I Thursday.
Sure happy it's Thursday.
See, it's like the S word.
Yep.
And you can call us, like you heard, at 877-365-3636.
I like this rock, man.
Well, is the world going to end now? I was coming in today, and I saw on the Beltway gigantic snowplows sitting at the ready. Meanwhile, I looked at the thing in my car, the thermometer, saying it was 39 degrees outside, and it's not even drizzling.
And they're not sitting, Don. They're bracing.
Is that what it is, Mike?
They are bracing for the storm.
That's right. Dial them up right now, Robbie, if you've got them. Start today with a man short in stature, but large in prognostication ability.
He is our favorite weather forecaster.
You loved him in the Jackass movies.
He's Wee Man.
Guy's name is Topper Shut. He's
fresh off his cancellation on Armed and Famous.
He's the weather guy on Channel 9 here in D.C., the CBS affiliate. You got him? All right, here we go. Let's welcome to the show our friend Topper Shutt. Hey, Topper.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Howdy. Topper. Welcome. Welcome to the show, Topper. And for those around the country who deal with bad weather all the time, you know the story here in D.C. If anybody even threatens to spit on the road, they close
widespread
school.
Panic. Widespread. And Topper has been our favorite weather forecaster for a good long time because not only does he come on sometimes when we ask him, but he knows our whole deal when it comes to weathermen. He knows that really, if we had our choice, we'd be taking his fingers off.
I know.
And he has the Bredometer.
Yeah, we know. I've broken the Bread-O-Meter out this year, and I am on heavy dose of Prozac, because I love to know.
I got a feeling that this thing today, and I will give you some credit, you've not turned up the emergency alarm.
Now, you're actually doing something that you don't see very often at this time. You seem to be calming people down a little bit.
Yeah, I think you know, there's just, believe me, if I could get excited, I would love to get excited, but this is just not doing it for me.
Yeah,
so it's a big bowl of nothing, right?
Well, the first system will go by, and that actually did quite a number in Charlotte and parts of North Carolina. We have one more chance
tomorrow morning. Topper, excuse me for a moment.
Yeah.
You have just broken one of the prime directives with weather guys.
Uh-oh, what's that?
And it's not that you so much predicted that something would come our way or wouldn't, mm-hmm. but when you started by saying, well, we didn't get anything, but down in Charlotte, whoa. They got an ice storm that you wouldn't believe.
Well, you know, you'll have the video of Charlotte tonight, won't you?
I just say that, Donna Mike, because you don't think I'm a complete moron. There was something out there. It just slid into southern Maryland. Southern Maryland did have a dusting, but, you know.
Oh, so it's already kind of in the area.
Yeah, the first was almost
gone.
The first was gone.
The thing was, and I watched the weather like a mental patient. the original forecast was.
All I see out here are bird droppings.
Was an inch of snow by the end of today. And then another mix tonight, and it's that. Here's another thing, Topper. When did you guys all decide to get together at your weatherman convention and come up with wintry mix as like a catch-all?
That's been around for a while, hasn't it?
But it's the go-to now.
Yeah, the wintry mix.
When you're not sure, it's just a wintry mix.
Yeah, well,
a little bit of everything.
Unfortunately, it covers the. It runs the gamut, and sometimes you need that.
I have a proposal for you. At the next convention, try SNEET. S-N-E-E-T.
SNEET.
A combination of snow and sleet.
Well, snizzle is snow and drizzle.
Snizzle.
It's not like you have to wipe it off your nose, but that's another little thing.
Now we sound like Snoop Dogg.
Yeah,
all right,
go.
So Topper, here in the D.C. area.
Yeah.
It's nothing, right? You're depressed.
I'm depressed. I honestly think that we could have a little burst late tonight, tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning's rush might be impacted a little, but it'll be a little bit of rain, a little bit of a mix south of town, and maybe the northern burbs get an inch.
Okay.
Maybe.
This has got to be killing you. I mean, this whole winter's got to be killing you.
Down.
It's not been pleasant.
All that Doppler. All of that goddamn high def
technology.
At what point do they have a meeting and they say, why do we have four full-time weather people when it never snows here?
Are we going to get any snow ever?
Yeah, I think we will. I don't think we're going to make average snowfall this year. I mean, starting out with hardly anything in January, it's doubtful we'll make it up in February and March.
All right, well, enough about the weather. Thank you.
I will say one thing, though. It's going to get... I can see this thing. I can't see it on TV. I can see it on your show. It's going to get butt cold next week.
It's going to get butt cold?
Yeah. Like the coldest air we've seen in probably 10 years. Highs in the 20s, low 20s.
Really?
Yeah.
I know there are people around the country right now going like, BFD.
but,
you know, here in Miami North.
Yeah, I mean, it could happen.
I hear you.
Well, you're very generous to come on our show.
All right.
Hey, Topper, how are things at Channel 9?
Great.
Would you do a favor for all of us and say hi to... Tracy for us.
I'll do that.
No, that's just from Mike and Buzz.
With my sexiest eyes, I'll do that.
Hi to JC for me.
Ah, yes.
And I mean that. She's gone. She has gone sans those King Tut wigs. And
exactly.
I'm telling you, beautiful.
Yeah.
And beautiful.
Say hi to Todd for me.
Rob. We're big fans of Channel 9, Topper.
All right, guys.
Hey, Topper, I don't want to put you in an awkward position. But I do have to ask about the Amazon woman that does the weather.
Yeah, that would be Kim.
How tall is she in real life?
She's big. She's probably 5'10", 5'11".
Oh, you must hate being in a room with her. you couldn't get away without one of those on
this
show.
She rode crew for Cornell.
Wow.
She's quite an athlete.
She's a big, strong woman.
You have to wear your Indiana Jones hat when you talk to her. You ever catch Topper on the 11 o'clock?
When he's on the deck.
He's outside on the deck.
The weather, is it called the weather deck, Topper?
Weather terrace.
The weather terrace, I got it wrong.
More upscale, weather terrace.
Weather terrace. All right, well, I'm watching that big woman.
All right, Doc, one favor to ask you.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
I heard this a little while ago. when you cut your toenails, dude, do it over the toilet.
Good advice.
Okay? All right, Topper. They'll go right in the toilet, and then you're done.
Good advice.
But, Topper, it's so much easier just to toss them over my side
well,
of the...
apparently it is.
All right, touche.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Topper.
Bye, Topper.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, God, he's funny.
Topper Shutt from WUSA Channel 9.
All the years we've been talking to weather guys, he might be the only one that kind of gets it.
No way.
You're right, Randy, he doesn't get it.
Good, good. No way.
Isn't he the most into it, though, too? Because you can really hear... No, it's not going to be anything. He'd like 3 feet.
Sure. You know, saying that he's an honest weatherman is like saying that someone is an honest lawyer.
Exactly.
But I believe he's honest in this regard. Much like I've tried to categorize George Bush recently. You know, he means the right thing. He's just, not the Topper is this way. Bush is just dumb as hell, but he thinks what he's doing is right. So, come on, support him. The thing about Topper Shutt is that he is unabashed in the fact that he gets on TV and says, I wish we had bad weather.
He does. He likes it. He knows he gets into it.
I like snow. I like putting on my it's not him. I guess it's Howard Bernstein that puts on the earmuffs.
Oh, dear. When he's on the weather terrace?
And that's not a good look. You've got to go with that suede fedora thing.
Yes, yes. The Topper Indiana Jones fedora.
But you should.
Pan doesn't wear anything.
Tony Pan, no need. No need Tony Pan. Well. And that hair that stands on edge. But I'm telling you, you want to see a creature, a creature you want to devour. Check out that Amazon woman that I was talking
really?
About.
Really? You heard 5'11", maybe 5'10", 5'11".
Huge, big, strapping
road
woman.
Road crew, big, strong, strapping woman.
And when I watch her on the television with my pants around my ankles while I am compulsively clipping my toenails, I notice that...
From now on, over the toilet.
That'll happen. She is really so big, she has to arch herself backwards, almost like a dinosaur in Jurassic Park, to fit into the screen. Really big. Big, gigantic. Something like that. And I've tried to figure her body out because that's why I thought she has to be a tall drink of water because the suits that they put her in look like...
Pants suits where the sleeve goes halfway up the arm.
Absolutely.
I mean, really, short. Like the design is for them to be off the wrist. They're not supposed to be... But they go so far up, it looks like...
They have a short sleeve.
Yeah, it's like Curly when he used to wear his sport coats on the Three Stooges. They go halfway up the arm. They don't belong there. It's very odd, but I still like Channel 9.
Oh, so
is when did Channel 9 become our go-to? Because we all kind of watch Channel 9 now.
Well, I guess it's
Channel 9 has their act together.
Well, I think they became our go-to as soon as they hit number 3 in the ratings.
I think it was Tracy.
No, it was when they went high def.
No, not high def. No, it was Tracy.
No, actually, number 4. They became our go-to as soon as they realized that no one was watching. As soon as they realized that they're getting beaten like bugs.
Who's number 1?
Oh, got to be Channel 4.
Is Channel 4 number 1? See, I thought Channel 9 was doing okay.
Actually, maybe cartoons are number 1. Really, maybe like The Simpsons are number 1 at 6 o'clock.
Wow.
I think so.
I'd like to check on that because I thought Channel 9 had better ratings than that. I really did. I thought it was 9, 4, and 7. I thought in that order.
I'd like to say so, but I don't think. I think it's 4, which is NBC. Then I think Fox is in there.
I thought 4 was having all the problems. That's why they jettisoned everybody.
4 is just getting rid of all those people because NBC is just cost-cutting people.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's not because of the numbers. It's just because, you can throw in some young, oh, my God. And
thank God Arch landed on his feet.
Yeah. 7 will now lurch to the top.
Have you seen the new weather guy on Channel 4 on the weekend?
No.
The guy that looks like Doogie Howser's friend?
Oh!
You know the guy who's got that slightly, Venezuelan look about him,
mm-hmm.
And he's one of these guys with this. Itch.
Oh, it's a guy with like a New York accent, kind of a New York accent.
Kind of an.
Here
off.
We go. We've got this. Sounds like the boyfriend of Cynthia Nixon on Sex in the City.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, very similar. We're talking like this.
Almost like a baby talk.
That's right.
Here's where the forecast is.
But he looks like Doogie Howser's best friend.
I know, Vinny. Yeah, he is. Yes, he may be the most annoying right now. Absolutely insanely annoying. But the sports lady on the weekend on Channel 4 is A-OK.
Lindsay Zarniak?
Is that her name? The blonde with the great teeth?
Yeah.
The great smile where she smiles the whole time? Mm-hmm. I don't even think about the sports when I'm watching her.
They've got a... who's that?
That's Norman.
Oh, hold on a second, everybody. Checking in now live from Super Bowl XXXI. Here is our friend Boomer Norman Esiason.
Hey, Boomer.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Boomer.
It's actually XLI.
XLI?
Oh, what did I say? XLI.
I mean,
they don't do four X's.
Jesus, I stopped keeping track of that like 13 years ago.
Boomer, how the HE double toothpicks are you?
I'm doing great, man. Nobody's living a better life than me right now, I can tell you that.
You look like you're having a good time. When we watch you on the Magic Box, you look like you're having a good time.
I am. You know, the TV stuff is great. And then, of course, the double duty as the radio analyst for the Super Bowl. I mean, it's a football, fan's dream. And not too many people have been able to, you know, to do this. And I'm just fortunate, man. It's all things are good right now.
Boomer, are you down there near the, near that big cesspool known as Radio Row down at the Super Bowl, or are you actually in a secure location?
Right now I'm in my hotel room. How about that? That's as secure as it gets. Unfortunately though, last night, you know, what happens is people see you in the lobby, right? So what they do is they go over to the house phone and they start calling your phone.
Ooh.
And I had about four or five crank calls last night.
Like in the wee hours, too?
In the wee hours. You know, people spilling out of the bars and everything. Oh. And they're saying, hey, let's give Boomer a call. Let's give James Brown a call. You know what I mean?
Well, hold on, Boomer. You don't use a
You don't check in under Bugs Bunny, Boomer? That's what you're supposed to do.
Well, you know what
do.
I did? I usually do, you know, and I didn't do it this time. And then, obviously, today I changed it, so.
Here's what you should do. Anytime you check into a major hotel, Boomer, check in under the name Jess Atkinson.
Jess,
no one will ever ask for you.
Come on, that's not true.
We like Jess. Jess is a good guy.
We love Jess.
Sure.
Hey, Boomer, I don't know if you're watching all the crap that these guys are saying. They pretty much have said nothing today. The one thing I did notice on one of the shows this morning was they had a clip of Rex Grossman, maybe from this morning, getting a little mad at the press, saying to them that they're, in essence, saying, you guys are stupid. You're asking me the same dumb questions every single day. And it's the closest I've seen to anybody actually making a fist. Have you heard anything about that, or is this just something that I saw, like, on
ESPN
News?
No, you know, it's I can understand why he would do that, to be honest with you, because it is. It's overblown. I mean, it's a football game, you know, and everybody knows he has to play good, and Peyton has to play good, and Chicago has to run the ball, and Peyton can't make mistakes. I mean, it's just it's ad nauseum. It's over and over and over. I mean, and we got to do it over for four hours on Sunday.
They say it's the most overanalyzed sporting event in the history of mankind. You know, the other day we were talking with Jim Nance, and we were asking him about down there at the Super Bowl, because it is South Beach, because that energy down there in Miami, you get a sense that everybody's going to be toeing the line, everybody's going to be getting back to the hotel on time, behaving themselves, no rumors about anybody going nuts or crazy, because I know there's some guys that have never been through this that actually, you know, do, even though it's the biggest game of their careers, they do tend to wig out during the festivities.
Oh. One of those guys was my former teammate, Stanley Wilson.
Right.
You know,
he
worked out the night before the game. We found him in a drug-induced haze, and he was suspended from the game. And I always said it was one of the worst decisions that Sam Wish ever made, because that the guy was a hell of a football player. I would have much rather had him on the field as opposed to wandering the streets aimlessly, wondering what the hell's happened to his life. But
you know, if everybody is locked down and everybody's being good.
Is everybody behaving themselves, Boomer?
I think so. I think for the most – well, listen, Shannon Sharpe's not behaving himself, I can tell you that. But everybody
on
the teams are, but. I think everybody is so worried about being, you know, the next Eugene Robinson or Stanley Wilson that, you know, even the center for the Raiders a few years ago, his name. He went off the deep end, too.
Right.
That's a guy.
Barrett Robbins.
He went to Tijuana, right? He like took some time off from San Diego.
For somebody, he was like bipolar. You remember he was bipolar?
Right.
He took off down at Tijuana. Exactly right. So I don't – listen, at the end of the day, I think most of these guys all realize it's a business trip. And from the – aspect of the two teams hanging around the two teams, I think Chicago seems to be a hell of a lot more loose than Indianapolis.
That's a good sign, isn't it?
I always think it's a good sign. You never know if it's going to translate into anything positive on Sunday. But, you know, Bill Polian is the GM for Indianapolis. You remember he was the GM for those Super Bowl Buffalo Bill teams that never won.
Right.
You know, and Bill could be a pretty tough guy. I mean, you know, he's like, we're going to practice today. You know, they didn't want us to practice and all this other stuff. Come on, you know, listen, what are we going to do? We're going to run over to the Bears and tell them what you didn't practice. I mean, the Bears know what you're going to do. I mean, you know what you're going to do. Everybody has film on each other. I mean, it's not like this should be like a Pentagon lockdown or something. But unfortunately, you know, he's made it that way for Indianapolis.
I got one more thing for you, because you used to run that no huddle, that thing with Crazy Sam Wyche.
Yeah.
And now you didn't do it like Peyton Manning did, but back when you played, it was the closest thing, because you would call.
Well, no. I took it one step. step further than Peyton. You know, I mean, we had our
don't be modest, Boomer.
We had our entire offense was run at the line of scrimmage, every formation, every play, and not only did we run every play had three code words attached to them. So we, you know, I wouldn't have to yell the same code words over and over and over again. And the interesting thing about that was that not only did I have to know the play and the code word, I had to know whether or not I yelled a particular code word the last time I called that play.
Oh, and did you have to shift that up every week?
Every week.
Oh, my
God. Every week. So,
oh, my God.
So I can completely appreciate what Peyton Manning's going through. You know, a lot of quarterbacks suffer from ADD, so they can't remember things from one thing to the next. And that's probably why they're good as they are, because they can't remember the bad plays as well as the good plays.
As someone who ran that, as you said, you know, better than Peyton Manning.
Better than Peyton Manning. I just said I ran it.
How much of that is BS to fake out somebody? How much of it is to see what the defense is going to do? And how much of it is really calling a play? I mean, specifically with Peyton Manning.
I would tell you that he's calling a play. Somewhere in all that gyration, he is calling a play. Then, you know, he calls the play, gets to the line of scrimmage, and then is trying to see what the defense is doing, and then he might change the play if he can get the defense to lock itself in. The biggest thing for a quarterback in any game is what they call a pre-snap read, you know, trying to get the answer to the question before you snap the ball. And really the key to a defense is hiding that read as best they can, disguising it, if you will, and then getting into their defense when the ball is snapped. So
I tell you something, I got a boner that will not stop.
You are, Mr. I know you love this kind of talk.
I really
you know what?
Do.
I don't have as much as you. I like this kind of talk, too, because when he's talking about that, do you get any feel for the percentages when those guys come to the line of scrimmage that they pick it up? Is there any kind of percentage? Like, do they get it 50% of the time? Or
well, I was talking to Brian Urlacher this week, and he says, listen, I don't understand what the hell he's talking about. I don't know what he's doing. I said, if I get caught up in trying to figure out what he's doing, then I forget what I'm doing.
Okay.
You know, and I need to know what I'm doing so I can stop what he's doing.
And usually it's a glaring thing, I mean, for a big play. It has to be something where, you know, there's a guy on the outside that's wide open or something like that, right? I mean,
in order
to make
it
really
work. At the end of the day, the bottom line is they got to, you know, you got to tackle and you got to break tackles and you got to read defenses and you got to try to, you know, read an offense and what they're trying to do to make a play. I can break it down as technically as you want, but at the end of the day, when they wake up on Sunday morning, somebody's going to wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Who is that guy that's going to make those mistakes? And if it's Peyton Manning, guys, you know what? I said it before. He can move right into the neighborhood with Alex Rodriguez, you know, because he has all the money, all the stats, and no championships. And unfortunately, I don't feel that way. But the so-called geniuses out there, the bloggers and everybody else, will say that he can't win the damn big one. And, I think he's a great quarterback. I think he's already proven that he's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
So you do believe, it, as I do, that he got off the schneid when he won the championship game?
Well, it wasn't even that. I thought even prior to that, you know, I do believe that this year's playoffs have basically set up really nicely for them because they played the Kansas City Chiefs, which is an average football team. They played Brian Billick and the Baltimore Ravens, and Brian Billick did his best imitation of Marty Schottenheimer. and then they played, of course, the Patriots, who forgot to run the ball in the second half. So it was like everything set up perfectly for him, and now he has an average defense to go against, and he should have a tremendous game, and he should be the MVP of this Super Bowl.
Well, that's why you're great on TV. I mean, I'm not slurping you. And when you wore that that hoodie, much needed on that show.
You get to keep it?
Much needed.
Yeah, I got to keep it, and I wore it out of respect for the genius, Bill Belichick, the monk. And the genius didn't come through, and,
no,
and not worse than that, he was not a dignified loser, to say the least.
He was not. I mean, that whole moment that he had at the end of the game.
What was that?
He did blow off Peyton Manning, correct?
Well, he not only blew off Peyton Manning, but Solomon Wilcott, my colleague. You know, Solomon asked him a question. Well, they just played better than us. How about saying, well, you know, we couldn't stop the run, or Peyton Manning was great. I'm so happy for Tony Dungy. Nothing.
Well, I think sometimes those guys get a little spoiled with success.
You would think he has enough to go around. You would think that he would be happy like you, Boomer, like Lefty, of course.
Lefty.
Yeah, well, I'm a happy guy, but I'm happy because I don't have to get hit anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you do really a fantastic job. We are big fans. We really.
Well, I appreciate that, guys, and I know that JB loves you guys, and he's always telling me about all the nice things you say about us. So I certainly appreciate it.
Well, it's great to hear from you, Boomer. And hold on. Did you know that Jim Nance gives his tickets away? His ties
did
away.
He give his tickets
away? No. We
his
have that
ties.
Wrong.
Ties.
He gives his ties away.
He gives his ties away. Yeah, oh, okay.
Something you might want to think about, Boomer. At the end, he finds finds a young fan and takes the tie off, and usually about a 13, 14 year old kid, and throws him the tie like Mean Joe Green.
That's what I was gonna say. It's a Mean Joe Green moment. What do you know, man? I never knew that about Jim. I know he's touching, but I didn't know he was that touching.
He scalps his tickets. He gives away his ties.
He's a good guy.
All right, Boomer. Have a good time down there, and thanks for checking in, dude.
All right, guys. Thanks. Okay. Have a great week.
Bye, bye, right. Boomer.
See you, boys. Bye, bye.
Bye, bye.
Wow. He's fun. Yeah. We have to get him on again. We can get him ramped up. He's a lot of fun.
He is no slacker in the ego department.
He isn't. You don't hear that enough, I think. Right. I like that.
At the end of the day, he's opinionated. And at the end of the day, he tells you his opinion.
Because he's a lefty. Because he's a lefty.
More than Peyton.
What did he does. He said he called it more than Peyton.
One night, God, back when...
He was just, incidentally, for local people in Washington, D.C., who followed Jess Atkinson, did some sports casting around here. I don't know where Jess is now.
He was a kicker for the Redskins for a
while.
He was a kicker
for the Redskins, and they were roommates at
the University of Maryland.
University of Maryland, right.
And Mike and I are old enough that when Boomer Esiason played for the University of Maryland Terrapins...
Big fan of the show.
Yeah, and that's when we began our lust of him.
Yep.
The albino wizard.
I remember we had one time he was on, and we had the whole albino thing, and they said, I'm not albino.
I'm not albino. One time I was talking with him after he retired, but when we still worked, I guess, maybe it's since we worked at this place, irregardless,
mm-hmm.
he was out of football and he was back in town at some function, and I was doing my usual, in essence, being on my knees in front of him, presenting to him, mm-hmm. and I started talking about, boy, it must just be great to be in a Super Bowl, and I said something like, boy, if you ever think about the fact that if Joe Montana didn't make that great drive right at the very end, that maybe, it would have been you. And he really got pissed at me.
Sure.
Really got pissed. Like, and it was almost the same reaction that Joe Theismann gave us at that point. He said, it was something along the lines of, have you ever actually even participated in a sporting event that anybody have even watched or cared about?
What's amazing?
What's up with this?
I have tremendous regard for athletes.
He scares me. He scared me back then.
Rightly so. I have tremendous regard for athletes that go regularly on sports talk radio, because the sports talk guys are like that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
They have nothing else to talk about. So when you have to do it, they are just like that. Hey, do you think that that one time if you were wearing the yellow shoe instead of the blue shoe, might have thrown that screen pass that would have resulted in a 10-yard gain and a first down that would have allowed you to go inside the red zone and at least kick a field goal to take it to overtime?
I remember saying to him like a compliment, and the guy bit my friggin' head off.
I think that a lot of those guys, especially guys like quarterbacks like Theismann and Boomer Esiason, they hear guys like you and me talking about the game like we've played it, and they resent it. I think you
sure
can't. I don't think there's a pro athlete that doesn't, on some level, no matter who you are, look at a broadcaster who hasn't played the game and
just. Don't we do that too to people?
Sure.
When they call us, don't we say?
Of course we do. We do it every day.
Isn't our fallback answer to someone always, well, you're listening to us on the radio. That means we're better than you.
Right. Well, I like the one I like better that you use. Have you ever been number one at anything in your life?
Right. Well, that's the same as the Super Bowl thing.
Exactly.
I just stole it from them. Oh. It's like, do you think Doctor?
That diminishes it for me. I used to like it. Please just dismiss what you just said and
okay.
say you came up with it originally, because you know what? I don't like the fact you just don't tell me you stole it from Theismann.
Well, I didn't steal it from Theismann. It was just like a generality.
I've used it, though. I've stolen it from you, and I've used it to people when
drunk. It's true. I mean, you go to someone, have you ever been?
Hey, pal, you want to give me a hard time about having an extra cocktail? Have you ever been number one in anything in your life?
Yeah. Have you ever been, regulated to your industry? Have you ever been up on top? Have you ever? If you've never smelled that rarefied air, well, as Jim McMahon said to me, that F off.
Right.
Just F off. Right.
And it all, you know what it is? And you respected Jim McMahon for saying that to you.
Loved him.
It's all degree. Theismann. Even Mark Rippon to a certain extent. All of our friends that have played football.
All of these guys that we've wanted to fillet.
In a one way or the other, they're all telling us to F off. They're just doing it in different ways.
And they do it on...
And they're doing it in the nicest possible way.
And they all do it on TV as well.
Mm-hmm.
They do it on TV as well. With the guy, the poor, unfortunate schmuck, like a guy like Trey Wingo.
Or Sam Rosen.
I like goofing on Trey Wingo the most, though, because, first off, with that name Trey Wingo.
Trey Wingo, you know that it's got to be his real name, and you know he got beaten up because of it.
Right. And when he's on this NFL show that I watch sometimes on ESPN, they have, what's his name, Sean Salisbury, who really, if the guy was half as good, as he thinks he was, he would be in the Hall of Fame.
Now, see, we're going to get a call from Sean Salisbury now. So it's going to get back to us. Go, hey, man, I heard that.
Well,
who are you? You ever played in a game? Do you know what it is to make it in the NFL?
Well, he runs his big mouth. He's one who never did nothing.
Right.
And then sitting next to him is another guy that Mike and I know, Mark Schlereth, who,
Stinky,
who used to play on the Redskins.
Stinky.
And when I watch this show, NFL Live, quite often now the one guy, the quarterback, can't do it because he was like a journeyman and never really amounted to much. Mm-hmm. But Mark Schlereth, every once in a while, just throws it. Trey Winkle will start going to the crazy, like, you know, like you and I, like, the segment is called, What Were They Thinking? He's coming to the line. Look, he doesn't know what the play is called. And they go to a wide shot of these three guys, and Mark Schlereth just looks at him and goes, sometimes in the heat of a game, you get caught up and you can't see that clock. Did you ever play the game, Trey? And that is the fallback answer.
You can't. That's
and
why.
And who can blame them? And can you imagine?
They're able to do that. They can
you
that.
Imagine if doctors had the balls to do that to our faces?
Mm-hmm.
If you were ever in a doctor's office and a doctor says something to you like, you know, I'm not really sure. I think I'm going to have to get a second x-ray on that. Or I think it's this. And if you said to them, and you never backtalk a doctor, right?
Right.
You always put it. Even like you would with a quarterback, in the nicest possible way. You know, maybe, you know, it feels weird on the left side, not on the right side. I mean,
and the doctor looks at you and goes, okay, come here for a second. See this? This is a piece of surgical string. Here, I want you to tie the knot that I close on my cardiac patients.
Tie it!
Tie the knot, pussy boy! Tie that knot!
That's it. Or how about you? See that on the wall? Diploma. You see that? You know how long I had to go to medical school? Do you have any idea how many valves are attached to the human heart?
Okay, smartass, now give me another scotch.
Or do you just want to tell me how the pain is on the left side as opposed to the right side?
I'm trying to think now of professions where they can do that. Airline pilots, to me, could do that. Airline pilots could do that.
No, they'd have to be drunk, though.
That was a bumpy ride.
Not while they're flying the plane, but...
A bumpy ride. Okay, then I'd like you to tell me, Mr. Smartass, where the ailerons are. Tell me where they are. Come on. Just point to them.
Point
to where the ailerons are, okay? What do you do when you're on a glide slope? You want to tell me what a glide slope is? Huh, fat ass? They could do that. There are lots of professions.
But
no.
They wouldn't.
They're pros.
Cops wouldn't.
Right.
Although sometimes.
Cops would.
If you watch Cops, the TV show, you see it.
Mm-hmm.
You see it sometimes,
right? Yeah, when they've got like the crystal meth user who's lipping off to him, you know,
it spills
like,
out.
Well, I don't do that. I don't participate in that kind of behavior. I have to raise myself to higher standards. And you're sitting here drooling on your shirt.
Do you know how long it took me to get into the academy? Do you know that I was offered the same opportunities you were, but I chose a life on the straight and on the narrow?
Right. And the crystal meth user unfortunately can't do that.
Always sit there with his or her shirt off. Lots of pimples on their back.
Uh-huh. You know how hard it was to roll up that baggie?
No, I believe that is something that is, even we can't claim ownership of that. That is absolutely a 100%, not even in all sports, just a football player thing.
Uh-huh.
Because think about it, if you're watching a baseball show,
mm-hmm.
you don't see former baseball players coming down with attitude like, hey.
Never.
You ever stand inside a batter's box?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe it's because most people have. Maybe not at a major league level.
Baseball players, and because I'm such a big baseball fan, the elite of baseball players, it's a different thing altogether. The elite of baseball players, like a guy like Cal Ripken, or you'll say even a Pete Rose, who I've seen, they've got a different aura about them. They don't do a lot of, it's not a lot of talking, but you just know people, you want to talk about a slurp factor? You see a Hall of Fame baseball player and see people around there, I mean, and they'll just go,
Hey, wouldn't Cal be the best, though?
Yeah.
If you give Cal Ripken a hard time, hey, you doofus. Hey, what's up with your cancer patient haircut?
Do you remember how...
Hey, what's up with those rabbit eyes? And all he's asked to say to you is, excuse me, hello, how many games did you play in a row?
Yeah.
Right?
In a row. Hey, do you ever make it through a midget football game? You ever play every play? Huh? Dumbass? Yeah, that's the way they all are.
And it would be the best. You got to know that they are just, speaking of W, every single day they're stepping on him not to do that. Because, you know, that is his, in case of emergency, break glass. One time when he's standing in front of everybody getting grilled about Iraq, and he finally goes, hey, you know, hey, hold on a second. Who has the job? Who has, who's the boss?
Hey, Wolf Blitzer, I don't see a 747 parked out at Andrews Air Force Base with your seal on it. Do I, Baldy? You want me to take that toupee off?
Oh, you know, he could do it. He could do it again. I could call the Secret Service on your ass. I can have your mama thrown in jail tomorrow, and I won't even have to think about it twice.
And the guy that really wants to do it, unfortunately, is the number two guy, because you know Cheney would love to do that.
Hi, bitches.
Oh, hold on a second.
There he is. Cheney would really like to do it more than Bush.
Oh, we lost our Dick Cheney tape.
Oh, no.
The Dick Cheney tape is now been replaced with Paris Hilton talking about smoking pot.
Yeah. Good.
Hi, bitches. What? Yeah, the best pot. You want to smoke pot?
Yeah.
I'm the best pot. I'm the best pot. Let me get it. Dude, we're smoking pot if you guys want to smoke. Me, Tori, Liz, Nikki. Hi, bitches. Be right back. Hi, guys.
There she is.
You are absolutely atrocious.
I spelled it wrong. That was Dick Cheney.
That was Dick Cheney.
I don't approve of that.
Dick Cheney would say something like that. Well, I guess if you're so smart, you should have the secret bunker to hide in.
I just think it's hogwash.
Hogwash. Thank
Wolf,
you very much.
Wolf Butcher.
And, of course, we're talking Super Bowl as we did.
Da Bears.
Okay.
Da Bears.
Okay.
Da Bears.
Thank you.
Da Bears.
Okay. You a little conflicted about this Super Bowl?
Not
you
at all.
Da be. Bears.
Not at all, Mike. Let's go. Yeah, I am.
Of course I am.
Go Bears.
Of course I am. There's a part of me wants the Colts to win, but on the other hand, hey.
Go Bears.
They won.
Yeah.
I lived in Chicago.
Yeah. You always have kind of floated around. I mean, Jim McMahon. I mean, and
but
all
the,
that.
But the Packers hate the Bears. So I got to. And Peyton Manning called me after my wife died.
That's true.
So I got to go with Peyton Manning.
Got to go with Peyton.
Got to go with Peyton Manning.
Go Bears.
And I said to Rob, how am I going to break the tie? And Rob said, easy, go with the white coach. And I said, well. And then Rob said, what?
Yeah. Right. Oh, and he was shocked, and that's
Rob
when
said, what?
He went into shock on the spot.
I know.
I'm researching. I'm going to find out which is the better coach. I'll have an answer. My COB.
But you would have to say this. Right now, the coach is playing. Neither one of them is different. I mean, they're different from you.
But they're the same as each other.
They're the same as each other.
But does that count for anything, Rob?
Not for me.
You closed-minded dullard.
They're different from me.
Da Bears.
Da Bears. There's Rob.
All right, well, gosh. That was a jam-packed for us. That was a
sure
jam-packed
was.
Opening segment.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know about you. I think we've done enough good. We can just get in our cars and go home, wait for the snowstorm that's not going to get here.
See you tomorrow for the Absinthe Show, everybody.
Be right back. I mean, tomorrow.
This is the Don and Mike Show.